I've got to talk for the next few minutes about the topic of grace-filled homes. We're going to get into that in just a second, but just because this time slot is really actually pretty challenging to get us hooked in and that sort of thing and keep our attention after we've had a good lunch and we've been sitting and some of our classrooms are warm and that sort of thing, I've chosen to show a video. It's not too terribly long, and hopefully it will be humorous for all of us to watch. So if we can roll that video, then I'll stand back up in just a few minutes.
That's not how you fold the towels.
It doesn't matter how you fold a towel.
It does matter how you fold the towel. If you want it to fit in the closet, you have to roll it. Could you chew any louder?
This goes on here. It takes 2 seconds.
Well, then the next person who comes in, we'll do it.
That's not the point. Hey, did you throw away my leftovers?
No.
I could have...
What did you call me?
Nothing.
The toilet paper goes over. It's printed that way so you can see it.
No, the toilet paper goes under so that the cats don't get at it.
That makes no sense.
What do you want to get for dinner?
I don't really care.
Then just pick something.
You choose.
Told you.
Shut up.
I don't see why I have to put the utensils face down.
Because when they're sticking up like that, if someone trips and falls, they're going to impale themselves and die.
That's literally the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I'm not playing this game where I list every single thing and you shoot it all down. I'm not doing this again.
Well, then I don't know what to tell you.
Oh my gosh, watch this. This is the best line.
Did you watch this without me?
You weren't home! Seriously, 6 more inches and it's in the sink.
Well, then put it in 6 more inches. Get it?
I get it.
Anything will be fine.
Fine.
It's food.
Fine. All right, we're gonna get pizza.
Anything but pizza.
What do you want to eat?
That is Bill Paxton.
It is Bill Pullman.
Bill Paxton was in Aliens. That is Bill Paxton. That is him. Game over, man. That is that man right there.
Why am I going to put him away? I'm wearing them tomorrow morning.
I don't care if you're wearing them tomorrow morning. I don't want them just sitting by my side of the bed all night.
Why do you do this? You squeeze from the bottom. The next person doesn't have to squeeze then.
It's toothpaste. It's not like it's hard to squeeze it from a new area on the tube.
Why are we fighting about this?
Why are we fighting about this?
Why are we fighting about this?
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have made you make the decision. That being said, I think your original call of pizza is fine. Just no pepperoni.
That video is painfully real sometimes for me. But anyway, hopefully it's humorous and we can all learn from that. Because I think at times we all look a little bit like the couple in the video. It may not be rolling towels. I've never heard of rolling towels. Does anybody roll towels? Good. Okay, you fold them. So you roll them? Like she said. Ah, well, all right. Well, it's good to meet you. You're the first towel roller that I know. Well, all right. Well, I'm glad it works for you. Do they? Well, I'll be. Okay. But we get really worked up about some things sometimes. And I mean, like they said on the video, why are we even fighting about this? Why are we even fighting about this? Why are we even fighting about this? Why do we fight about things that we fight about? Right? Sometimes we fight about things that we fight about just because sometimes we want to fight. Sometimes we are just grumpy and we want to get the grumpies out and it comes out in the form of, I'm going to disagree with you. Sometimes it's a legitimate stance that we want to make about something that is important to us. But it's not important to our spouse, and so we wind up having a little bit of a tussle. Okay? But all of us at some point or another have fought. Okay? And I met a couple one time that claimed that they had never fought. And my response to them was, which one of you is giving up your opinions? Because there are no two human beings on this earth that can always have harmonious opinions, always, 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 always. You can have a high percentage of harmonious opinions and points of view and that sort of thing, but as you learned, if you went to Kristen's first class, based on our different personalities and that sort of thing, you're going to see things differently. And seeing things differently does not mean that you have a dysfunctional marriage. Sometimes that means you actually have a highly functional marriage if the both of you have the right to share your point of view, even if it means that you have to discuss it in a little bit of a different way. But because we're different, because we have different points of views, because we have actually a personality, because we have a history where we feel strongly about somebody saying something or doing something, and therefore we react if our spouse says something. And because of all that, since we have conflict in our marriages at times, we have a need for grace in our homes. We have a need for grace in our homes. Read with me, or you, well, I'm used to preaching. If you don't have your Bible, just listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. Ephesians 4, verses 25 through 32. And I feel bad for Chris back there. He's going to try to keep up with me on my PowerPoint stuff, but I hope he can stay with me. I told him I usually try to change it, but I get caught up in my lesson a little too much sometimes, and I get five slides behind. So I appreciate you doing that, Chris. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32 says this: therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and if you have your Bible or you got your Bible on your phone and you have the capability to highlight and you're there with me, highlight these last few words: forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Let me say this today. Salvation is for every person on the face of the earth. If you are a human being, you are a person that Jesus Christ died for, because we are imperfect. Therefore, our imperfections cannot be allowed into heaven, because heaven is a place for perfect. And so there's a plan. The plan was for Jesus Christ to come back and complete that which is incomplete, to perfect that which is imperfect. And when people accept his offering, that is called grace. That is God doing something for us that we do not deserve. And if you have a spouse then that is a human being, therefore is in need of grace from God, then you have a spouse that is in need of grace from you. Grace is the willingness to permit imperfection. I want you to stop and think about that for a second. Grace is the willingness to permit imperfection. And I want you to notice what I did say and what I did not say. We do not, because of grace, have to accept imperfection, because grace actually makes perfect that which is imperfect. So we do not have to accept imperfections, but grace permits imperfections. Grace is needed because we are imperfect people who are married to imperfect people. And if we are not filled with grace, then we create an atmosphere of rigidity in our marriage, in our homes. Rigidity takes the human nature out of the equation. I want you to think about rigidity. I want you to think about protocol that cannot be broken. That is impossible for human beings to abide by all the time. Protocol. I have a friend who is a pilot for some Apaches in the American Army. And he was actually trying to recruit me to become a chaplain in the Army at one time. And so he was showing me all of these videos and that sort of thing. And he was showing me a rules of engagement video, which he probably shouldn't have shown a civilian, but he did. And it was really, really awesome. He showed me a couple of guys get killed on the battlefield and what the Apaches could do from over a mile away with their guns and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, dude, that's awesome. So he's showing me all this kind of stuff. And then at the end of one of his videos, he has, or the Army put for their training, they got rules of engagement, which you should, what they should have done in this situation, that sort of thing, and situations where they did the right thing, that sort of thing. And then at the end, they had kind of like a bloopers section. Okay, we all love bloopers, right? You know, and I remember as a kid when Jose Canseco was running toward the outfield wall and like hit his head and bounced over the wall for a home run. You know, bloopers are hilarious. It's good stuff. In the military, though, especially when you're a pilot, a blooper is about a $1 million blooper, because that's what those Apaches have invested in them over and over and over and over and over again. Okay, there's really not a lot of room for bloopers when you fly a helicopter, especially down some of those paths that they have to wind their way down. Okay, and so he's showing me this video, and you know, these guys, you become an Apache pilot because you have an aggressive Type A personality. They don't allow us calm guys to fly Apaches. They want the attack guys going. But the attack guys sometimes take things into their own hands a little too much, and you see them, you know, you hear over the radio, stay clear of those trees, bam, and they nail the tree, and there goes a multi-million-dollar machine that us civilians own, and nobody ever knows about the wreck. Sometimes even the pilots themselves died. And so what it was interesting to me, what I took away from that is, here are these soldiers that have gone through psychological testing to understand what type of temperament they have and that sort of thing, and they're selected to fly certain types of aircraft based on their temperament and that sort of thing. And then when they get into the program that they're in, or that they have been selected for, they go through all of this training, and they sit through all the factual things. Then they go through the simulators, and they spend, you know, thousands of hours going through the simulators and that sort of thing. And then they go on test flights, and they go through thousands of hours of test flights, all that kind of stuff. Then they go off, they're sent to Korea, over to our station over there, and you know, they do all this kind of stuff, training, 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 and we have a little maybe 2-3 month long war where they eventually get to do stuff, you know, in their Apaches and that sort of thing. And they still, after all that is invested in them, they have a 30-minute long and probably more video of bloopers that they have done flying their aircraft. There is no amount of protocol or no amount of training that can take away mistakes out of the human nature. No amount of training, no amount of protocol, no amount of we have to do this or that, no amount of seeking perfection that can train the human being into being a perfect machine. And that is a reality. That is why Jesus Christ came. was no matter how much we try to be like him, he realizes that our adversary is prowling around, watching us like a lion, figuring out how to take us down. And therefore, God and Jesus Christ are wise enough to realize that their creation is going to need grace in order to be able to enjoy a relationship like them. But us, sometimes, we forget that whole scheme. And in our homes, we forget on occasion that we are a creation that has fallen also. And it is so tempting for us to not apply the same grace that has saved our souls to our fallen spouses who have made mistakes themselves. And I'm going to tell you from experience, from not fully understanding how much forgiveness needs to be given at times, that's a painful thing. Even when you're the person who is withholding the grace, it is a painful, painful thing. It is not mistakes that need to be vanished from our functioning. It is grace that needs to be multiplied in our interactions. Grace-filled homes permit human development in the same way that God permits us to develop. If God was not interested in grace, then he would inherently not be interested in us developing our faith. Let's take the Apostle Peter. He was the outspoken one, that sort of thing. He was the one that was the incredible risk taker. He sees Jesus on the water walking. He steps out of the boat. He takes a couple steps out of the boat. He does something that other than Jesus Christ, no other human being has ever done in defying the laws of gravity. He steps out of the boat. But in his faith development, he was not strong enough yet to continue that walk towards Jesus Christ. And waves became his concern versus looking at Jesus Christ becoming his concern. And he sank. We all know the story of him sinking. Okay? Jesus then picked him up, restored him, walked across the water to the boat, and then they had a conversation. Peter denied Jesus. He slipped and fell again. Peter denied Jesus. They had a conversation. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And as he walked further down the path towards developing his faith, he got to preach the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. If God was not interested in letting us develop as human beings, he would have never done that for Peter. And some of us sometimes treat our spouses, treat our children, or whatever the case may be, in a way that is very much unlike God. We need to apply grace in our homes in a way just like God, where when our spouse makes a mistake, microscopically or monumentally, we're willing to allow them to become better. Grace recognizes that lifespan development is a thing and that years from now we will not be the same person that we are right now. I ran across a great quote one time. It simply says this: a happy marriage, not just any marriage, but a happy marriage is the union of two good forgivers. May you and I always be good forgivers. If you were to press me for my favorite scripture, it would be hard, but one that I do dearly love is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. It says this: and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is perfected in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. No power on earth is greater than God's grace. And no power in the home is greater than your grace. This is not a very highly technical lesson. We had the builder talk about, building a God-built Christian home. Okay, we had Andrew talking about, a meeting around the table and that sort of thing. There is one point and one point alone to this lesson, and that is bringing into your consciousness, into your actions, in your thinking, the fact that we need to extend grace in a greater way on a more consistent basis in our homes. How do you do that? We need to learn to laugh it off. Most fights are about the style of communication rather than the content of the communication anyway. So be willing to laugh off that which you're arguing about. And that includes laughing at yourself. Hear the real stressors in your spouse's life rather than their tone of voice towards you. Think about the Wizard of Oz. You got the wizard back there. You got the dude behind the curtain. And he's, he's scary and that sort of thing. And he's this little puny innocent guy. And you project himself as this big scary guy. And sometimes that's us. Sometimes we have had a horrible day. We express ourselves in tones and that sort of thing. And those tones come across as symbols which we interpret. And we make automatic assumptions that, they're mad at me or I don't like them doing this. And we fire back and things go from, pleasant, how was your day, to just automatically being in a bad mood and that sort of thing. But if we were to stop, we would realize, he's been pretty stressed out at work. And his boss could have been a world-class jerk towards him today. Maybe I need to understand where he's coming from. The kids have been really bad, their behavior has been pretty awful lately, and I know that she is stressed out. And maybe, just maybe, the fact that she's fussing at me for chewing too loudly, like the video up there, has nothing to do about how much I chew or how loudly I chew, and everything about the fact that she's stressed out. And she simply needs my partnership in a greater way. Learn to look at the person behind the curtain of what's being said. Learn to look at the content behind the style and extend grace in that way. And if, lastly, I believe, we need to learn to view mistakes in the big picture of life. One day, you will probably laugh about some of the arguments that you have. One day you'll probably be able to tell your grandchildren and your children stories about how silly you used to be in the arguments that you had right at the very beginning, especially of your marriage. We need to ask, how do I want to respond to this so that we can all grow from it? One interesting way to think about conflicts in our marriage is this. We need to think about years from now, when we don't remember what we were arguing about, and we don't remember what was going on that day or in that stage of our life and that sort of thing. Do I want to behave in a way where my wife or my husband remembers me as an ogre that was angry and had a bad temper and was just, quick to get angry? Or do we want them to remember us in a way where they have always been impressed with our godly character? And if we go into an argument, if we go into a conflict with that already having been decided, then that will take off the edge of our bad attitudes or our bad moods and can decrease what we say and can increase our grace that we extend in our hearing of each other. I want to share this with you, and I don't know if this is the last slide or not, but I want to share this with you. We are Christians. And the way that the early church meant that word was this, that we are little Christs, small versions of Jesus Christ. That's the kind of the origin of that word. And therefore, if we are small versions of Jesus Christ, we would want to learn to walk like Him. We would want to talk like Him. We would want to show an attitude like Him. We would want to learn to have business ethics like Him. We want to learn to be more like Jesus Christ. And the simple fact of the matter is this. We are never more like God. We are never more like Jesus Christ than at the moment that we choose to give grace. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray for our homes. I'm going to pray that we will take the information that we have shared and learned here today. I'm going to pray for myself, and I'm going to pray for you that we may extend grace in a greater way each and every day. As you celebrate your differences, as you safeguard your home from pornography, as you learn to be more whole and have a congruent marriage, as you learn to help, you know, abused people the proper way and raise teenagers and all that kind of stuff, may grace be the glue that holds it all together, because you realize God did it for you and you would like to do that for others.